everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you live a more positively minded life. Hey. So we are discussing all kinds of exciting things about love and romance. And this goes a little further for you. Here come among your many lessons. I want to welcome to our program someone, ready for this, who listens regularly from Taiwan. I got a Taiwan and I got another one from North Korea. So we have two listeners who are with us on a regular basis. Amazing. I know. You never know where it slides in sideways, huh? Get a little of this wisdom. So here's a... I don't like chain letters. I don't like chain letters. I especially don't like chain letters when they say, send this to the next 14 friends, and if you don't, your nose will fall off, and your oldest child will die in an auto accident. Right? I don't like those things. I don't even like them when they're really good-hearted. Where they send us to 10 of your friends, and you will be shedding light by passing on. Here's one, right? Forward this message the same day you receive it, but we believe that something will happen and that angels will exist if you pass it along immediately. So don't break it, because if you break it, you break the whole thing. Now that came along with a beautiful message. This I don't like. See, it's like those, it's like you're like getting kind of warnings on email. Anyway, but with this came something very interesting that I've heard before, and I thought I would discuss it with you because I think that you would like to discuss it. It has to do with something that you've probably heard many times before. You may have never heard it before at all. And here it is, worthy of discussion. It says, people come into your life for a reason, or a lifetime. When you know which it is, you will know what to do for that person. Now that's what it says, okay? I'll go on to read it. When someone is in your life for a reason, it usually is an express need you have expressed. It's usually to meet a need that you have expressed. Well, I'm going to change it a little bit, right? I'm going to say that when people come in for a reason, that means one thing, that there's a reason. Then they come in for a season, which means they're sticking around for a little period of time. And it may be a short period of time, even if you think it's forever, it's just for a season. And then some people come in for a lifetime. And that means you may not have expected it, or maybe you did. Maybe you thought you met your soul sister, or your soul brother, or your soul mother, or your soul father, or your soul mate, whatever it is. Right at the beginning, you took one look and you said, ah, those hands, those eyes, whatever it is. But let's go back. People can come into your life for many reasons. Why do they come into your life? Do you ever think about why do different people come into your life? Well, it's very often based on your need. Let's say could be people come in who are just temporary help. We're not just talking about lovers now. Let's say you have a need, that you have a need to get help fixing your plumbing. So here comes the plumber, and he comes into your life for a reason. And the reason is to help you fix your plumbing. See? And you say, well, that's pretty good. People come into your life for a reason. You meet a friend. And the friend happens to say, hey, I know where I could get some baseball tickets. Right? And you were looking for baseball tickets. So you have a friend who gets you baseball tickets. Or some people come into your life like a therapist. They're in there for just, there's a reason. You're looking to get over some help. You hire somebody. You're a doctor. You hire somebody. They're there to serve a need. And so people come into your life for a reason. One way or another, almost everybody has a reason. It could be to serve a need such as a sexual need. Let's say you've got a sexual need and you say, oh, I've got to have sex with somebody. Maybe that's not really the need. Maybe you have a contact need, but it looks like sex. You know, maybe you just need to feel connected to somebody, but it feels like sex, so you're going through sex. It's a need. You could call it a sexual need or a contact need, or maybe you're lonely and you just don't want to be alone. Maybe it's kind of an existential angst that you're living with, feeling empty, feeling isolated. And someone comes along. They could be there to fill that spot. Sometimes people come into your life to hurt you, and you want them to hurt you. Sometimes it's an invitation. For example, let's say that you're on, let's say you were a gambler. And you were a gambler who learned not to gamble. So you learned, I'm never going to gamble. I gambled away already more money than I'll ever earn in my life. And so you stop gambling. And then you get on the straight and narrow life, and you get a job, and you're living this life, and you get married, and everything is working out perfectly, except it's perfect, but it doesn't have that surge of adrenaline, that surge of kind of hormones and fire. It's missing that, right? And along comes a friend with a newspaper and says, I'm going down a track. You want to join me? And you go, and you know this is not it. And you go and you meet the friend. And that friend came in for a destructive reason. Because that friend, the minute you follow the friend and you go down to the track, you start gambling and it starts the whole thing all over again. You lose your job. You lose your wife. You lose your children. So now what was the purpose of that person coming into your life? You know, was that the devil walking in? You know, carrying a sheet, you know, carrying these things that you should be gambling with, or somebody says, let's have a drink, and you're somebody who's going to be an alcohol, never going to drink again kind of person, right? So some people come into your life to throw you off track because you don't like the track. We call that self-destructive behaviors and self-destructive relationships, the purpose of which is to destroy where you are. Reason. Reason could be good reason. Reason could be not so good reason. The whole reason may be good on the bottom line because you really want to be yourself. But reason. People come in for a reason. Now they come in for a reason and they stick around. You like them. Sometimes you meet somebody and it's a date. You're lonely. You meet somebody and you're sitting at a bar and you talk to somebody. And they're there temporarily and they're talking to you. And they say, it's nice to talk to you. And you say, boy, it really is nice to talk to you. Why don't I talk to you tomorrow? And so you talk again tomorrow, and then you talk the next day. And then here you are in the beginning of the summer when you didn't know how you're going to spend your time, and you're meeting somebody every day. Let's take a walk. Let's go through the park. And this person is there, and they're becoming close to you. Now, in your mind, you may be saying, well, this is day by day, but it's actually they're going to be there for a whole period of time. Let me describe back to what is described as when people come in for a season. It's like people come in for a certain period of time. Some people come into your life for a season because their turn has come to share, to grow, to learn. They bring you an experience of peace, or they make you laugh, or they make you satisfied, or they take you into the dumps, and they, you know, you hang out in the grunge, and, you know, it could be the worst season. You could just be they coming in for a dark winter, you know, or they're coming in for a summer, or they're coming in for a spring. Think about the people who've been temporary in your life. What season would it have been? You know, you can think about Jose, right? What was he? Think about Mary Ann. What was she, you know? Think about Lucinda, right? Would you call her a spring, autumn, winter, summer, you know? Well, some people come in and they are just icy, cold death. And you're going to spend the season of misery. Think about those relationships that you've had that have been like, they've lasted a season, a few months, maybe a year or two, and they were just horrendous. Those are the not-so-happy ones. And then there are the ones that are wonderful, and they're wonderful for a period of time. They come in, and it's springtime, and it's wonderful, and it's summer, and you're swimming naked, and it's great. But then you get tired of the relationship, usually 5 or 6 years, and you get tired and the autumn of the relationship comes and you say, uh-oh, we got to do something. Either let's both get a facelift or the winter's coming and you get out. Well, some people come in for a season. You think about it. A person could be there for a reason. Initially, you may have been lonely. Sometimes, you know, one of the reasons are cooperative relationships. Like there are people who come in and they, two people working on a project together, and you both work ideally. You know, and you have a relationship where you're producing a radio program. And it's a cooperative relationship. And, you know, the two of you are both working on this, and it's fabulous. And then you have another reason that people get together, believe it or not, is a competitive relationship. Some people get together to compete with each other. And they do that like your next-door neighbor or the person at your job. And part of the good thing about their being in your life is that there's an incentive to improve yourself. You know, like we're both going to go rock climbing. And this is a friend and you want to beat them. You don't want them to beat you at the rock climbing. People compete with their own mates a lot. You know, you and your husband, you and your wife, you compete with each other. They even play games of competition. I'll beat you at Scrabble. I'll beat you at backgammon. I'll beat you at chess. I'll beat you at strip poker. Whatever you beat each other at. You know, it's like sometimes competition becomes such an important part of it. And cooperation, too. Those are relationships that seem to come in for an immediate reason. Like a reason may be you want to get your dander up. You know, you just want to kind of raise your adrenaline. You kind of want to, you meet somebody just for a temporary exercise. You play basketball with some kids around the block for a reason. You want to feel energy. A season, you become a team. You become friends. Hey, let's go challenge those other kids. Let's go play that other team, right? All right, summer's over, I'm going back to work, and the basketball drops on the floor and it dribbles away. And you say, it was a nice season, but it's kind of over. But then one of those kids lived next door, and it could be for a lifetime. Some people come in for a reason, and in that reason they either stay for a season or they stay for a lifetime. What makes for the lifetime relationship? That's a very interesting question. Let's go back to seasonal relationships. Now, according to this, if you could recognize that your relationships are seasonal, you're going to be a lot better off. Because if you don't anticipate that they're going to be lifetime relationships and you work from the seasonal relationship, you will feel gratitude. Think about all the past relationships you had. If you were to go back on your last 10 relationships, whatever they were, friendships, relationships, dogs, cats, those are relationships. Don't knock those. Bosses, make a list. Here we go. Make a quick list. Put down 5 of the last relationships you have that you no longer have at all, right? You don't have, oh, that's a good question. At all. You don't really have them. You may talk to the person occasionally. Hi, how are you? You know, but you don't have these 5 relationships. Pick any 5 relationships that you had that you no longer have. Go for it. Any 5. Right? You know, I give you a minute to do this because usually I give instructions and I don't get time to do it. Think about 5. It could be a lover. It could be a merchant. It could be somebody you dealt with. Somebody from school. Somebody who is a neighbor. 5 relationships. Okay, now. You got 5, maybe you have 3. There you go. A couple more. There you go. And 1 more relationship. That's it. Anything. Thank you very much. Good, you got it. Now, I want you to think about it, because I could think of 5 immediately. Jeez, I have so many relationships. It's amazing, but what did you get from every one of these relationships? What was your reason for being there? Now try to find a reason. It could have been a reason I wanted to stop my growth for the time being. It could be okay and let that be okay. It could be that I wanted to get cooperation for the time being. It could be I needed some competition for the time being. It could be I needed to be feel loved and wanted for some time. I needed to be. But what are the five things that you could think of? What are the things you could think of you got from each of these people? You don't have to write this one down. Just consider it. In the very act of considering what you got, you begin to respect the seasons. You see, if we resent it, what happens to most of us is we dump our relationships or our relationships dump us. And then, in order to deal with the separation, we discredit the relationship. We say, oh, that bum. Oh, that miserable person. Oh, she did this or she did that. Well, people do one or another reason, one or another thing to separate from the other person. And this is what we do. Once we do this separation, my friends, you know, you're kind of stuck because now you're saying, okay, I don't want to talk about that person. I don't want to think about that person. I don't want to see that person's picture anywhere. But think what you did get out of it. The goodies. What did you get? Can you think about that? Now you're looking at your list of five. Could you picture one good thing you got from each one? Yeah. Even if the person just admired you. For the time being, you may have needed to be admired. Even if the person resented you. Maybe for the time being, you know, you just needed that kind of energy to deal with. People come into your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Let's look at lifetime relationships. So what sometimes one season turns into two seasons. And I gave the example before, it starts off in spring because it's so nice and light, and it goes into summer, and you have this beautiful, wonderful, sharing, joyous, jumping around experience, and then it goes into the autumn of the relationship. That's if the season stretches a little bit, and you can feel it's kind of losing its energy a little bit. We're getting kind of used to each other. We're going to be doing the same thing every night, you know. You're going to meet for this thing. Oh, we're going to do this thing. Oh, it's the same thing. Autumn is coming. At which point you're challenged and you say to yourself, either I need difference because I am impatient because we're getting too close, or I need difference because I've got to have something new. Either way, you know, when you don't get through the autumn too well, and that means when you feed the autumn, when you believe your discontent is based on timing, then you're going to turn into the winter. And when you get into the winter of a relationship, you get this terrible thing. Now, here's one that I see all the time, and I don't see it directly with people who come to see me. Because the people who come to see me as clients, they're always in the autumn of their relationship. They're at the point they're saying, you know, we had a good time, and it's just looking lousy. How can we make this? How can we go back to the spring? Can we get back to the summer? We're in the autumn. We got to do something about it. By the time you get to winter, people rarely get to me because by the time it's winter, you're just frozen. It's just ice cold. The blood is gone. You know, the body is there, but the blood's been drained out. And those relationships, why those are important is because the children of the people who are in the winter of their relationships are kids that are really screwed up. They come to me and I say, so what was your dad like? Well, he was there, but he wasn't there. He wasn't really present. Well, what is that? I mean, if people are in your life for a reason, a season, or for a lifetime, what's this dad who wasn't there? Well, here's what happened. Dad was there for the season with his wife, but then he died. He died, his spirit died, somewhere in the relationship. And somewhere in the relationship, as the autumn came along, he felt no will, no spirit, and no place to go. That's it, those are the words, and many of you men are going to identify with this. I had no will, no spirit, and no place to go. And what you found is you stayed in an unhappy marriage. and didn't do anything about it. And the result of it was you went dead inside. Dead at least in the household. Maybe outside the house you were being alive and having some summer and spring out there. But back in the house, when your kids saw you, you were a wintry dad. And a wintry dad is like this vacant pop. You know, it's like an icicle with no flavoring. Not an icicle, like a popsicle with no flavoring. You know, popsicle. It's like, what is this? You're supposed to be there and you're not there. You know, it's like doing karate with a marshmallow. It's like it just doesn't work. None of this connects. I need to have something. So absentee fathers, or fathers who are home but absent, are usually fathers who left but didn't leave. They left their body behind, but they took their spirit out. This is Armand DeMille with you, with the talking about relationships and the timing of relationships. Now, many people who are in relationships, when they are in a seasonal relationship, the relationship starts to turn sour, but they don't. They say to themselves, I don't have any place to go. I don't want to go anywhere else. You know, I'm in this relationship and it's the summer and I want to go to the beach and the beach is nice. And here's this boyfriend I have and all he wants to do is have sex. Right? And what good is it anyway? But he takes me to the beach, so I want to go to the beach. So seasonal, you make a deal with yourself. In that case, you have a dysfunctional seasonal relationship. DSR. Or better yet, here's another word that's used when it means sensitivity to light, but this one really fits. A seasonal affective disorder. Meaning that for the season, your mood is all just not so hot, but you know, both your boyfriend and you are saying, well, we're partners now, we're going to the beach, and this is what we're doing. So you do that, and so then you, maybe for some reason or other, you find a reason to get married, even though you're not particularly happy, and then you have a baby. Now the baby is the reason that you stay happy, and you buy a house, and now the house and the mortgage are the reason that you stay married, and don't challenge it, and you don't know how to challenge it. You don't know how not to make things worse. So generally what happens to people who are in dysfunctional seasonal relationships, where they make them temporary, make them permanent relationships, is they're just lost. They don't know how to make it better. Anybody can make a relationship better. You don't have to leave. If there's one crazy person, we'll make the crazy person sane. That's possible. We have business. That's what I do for a living. Psychology, psychotherapy, medication, surgery, do something. But get better. Get better, especially if there are kids there. You have kids around, don't let them just see screwed up parents. Anybody can get better. You got to put a lot of effort into it. You have to have good helpers. You got to make it a high priority and make it more important than, you know, I don't have enough money for it because gas costs too much. You know, because you have the wrong insurance. You have to prioritize it, but you can make any relationship that's a long-term relationship. How many of you out there are committed for life to a relationship in which you're unhappy? I bet a bunch of you. What are you doing to make it better? What's your plan? People come into your life for one of three reasons. They come in for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. Now, there are relationships that weather the seasons. And in any relationship that's really amazing and worth its salt, you go through the summer, you go through the spring, you go through the autumn, you go through the winter, and then the spring comes around again. And when it does, it's amazing and wonderful. It's like falling in love all over again, you know, with the same person. You have the same partner, the same one who a month ago or a year ago or a few days ago you might not have felt this kind of thing towards. And then there it is, you know, it comes right back and you say, wow, he took me to the movies. Whatever it is, we did something different. So what we're saying is seasonal relationships can easily become permanent relationships if you perceive the season of the relationship, number one, and then you perceive other relationships as only lasting as long as the season. And that's all they're meant to do. And there are people who are around for a short period of time serving you as you are growing up. And you are serving them. So let's say someone comes into your life to help you out, and he's your doctor. And you go to a doctor, and your doctor helps you. This is now for a reason. You got a pain in your side. You get a doctor. He looks at you, and he happens to be a side specialist. And he said to you, you know, I'm making a little money on the side. And he helps you patch up your side. I'm sorry. Helps you patch up your side, and he gives you, you know, he fits it in, and then, now you've got this relationship with the reason, right? And what's the reason you're in his life? Well, there's a couple. He's got to have a purpose. Number one, he's earning a buck, right? He's making his living. Number two, he's practicing his skill. He's doing that which he believes in. That's what he hoped to be able to do. That's why he signed on to medical school. Hopefully he's not doing it just for the money. He's got some kind of motivation. As he puts that patch on your side, you know, and he fixes up your side, he says to you, hey, I'm making a little money on the side. No, he says to you, I'm perfectly happy to make you happy. Take these aspirin. You'll be better in the morning. You go on your way. You were in his life for a reason. You served him by his serving you. So there are many exchanges. There are many reasons why people come to you, because they have a reason too. When that relationship becomes collaborative, when you see that you could get more out of that person, or you could gain more for yourself with that person, and they see they could get more with you, the relationship goes into a season. When it goes into a season, you just got to say to yourself, this is wonderful, I have this relationship for now. When it's time that it's over and somebody causes a reason to blow it up or walk away, or the person dies, or if you have a pet and the pet dies, if this happens, my friends, you will save your heart a tremendous amount by looking back and saying, yes, this was a gift to me. I learned from it. I got something from it. You got something from everything you ever did. Find what you got out of it, and you're going to look at it a little differently. You know, that's number one. First of all, you're going to forgive the other person. And number two, you're going to forgive yourself. Because when you forgive yourself for being in these relationships by understanding why you were in it, you're much better off. But then there are the relationships that continue on. And there are those that continue on. And like we said the other day, sometimes you can't even find the reasons. Sometimes it has to do with the ethers. Sometimes it just has to do with the essence of a person. And you're there because of essence, and nobody could figure out why. So we're going to take your calls about this. I do definitely want to hear about you. Season, reason, or reason first. Season, or for a lifetime. And maybe you'll be able to tell me, you know, I knew from the minute I met her, it was going to be for a lifetime. You know, maybe you'll know that. Maybe you'll say that. But usually I think people who say that are mistaken. And when I say they're mistaken, usually it's some deficiency in them that sees the solution to the deficiency in somebody else, so they feel this tremendous positive reaction. You know, like there's somebody who's going to look at me and recognize me and think of me as a very important person when I feel like a schlump. You know, when I just failed my test. You know, people who fail tests very often start relationships immediately. You know, if you don't pass the bar or something, you're really ripe for a relationship. This is Armand DeMille. We're going to take a short break and talk about what happens when the thrill is gone, you know, when you're on the road again, when the person is kind of leaving. I'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes after a little music related to, of course, what we're doing, something that may bring back a memory. frill is gone. B.B. King. And this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind, WBAI. Yes, it happens, you know, the thrill is gone, but the relationship is there. Our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We will be taking your calls in a couple of minutes. 212-209-2900. When you call, please turn down your telephone, your radio. Turn it off, actually. And if you get online with me, and if you would, please tell me your first name the minute you get on the phone, or make one up if you don't want to give me your real name. You know, say, hi, this is Grunhilde, and just give me a first name. I appreciate that, because I like to remember who it is I speak to, and you'd be surprised how many people I remember. We're talking about the reason, the season, and the geezin. We're talking about the reason, the season, and relationships, long-term relationships, permanent relationships, and how relationships turn from being there initially for a reason into a seasonal relationship, which means it's in there for their very little protracted time. Or prolacted, that's interesting, huh? That's, you have your baby. And then there could be the time that's just a permanent relationship, a long-term relationship. And we're talking about the good relationships and bad relationships, long-term relationships where the person is there but not there, seasons of relationships. And what happens? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. This is Vincent.
Hello, Vincent.
How are you?
Good. I've spoken to you before. Can you turn down your radio, Vincent?
Oh. I don't have it on. Oh, hold on. Hold on.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have it on speakerphone.
You see what I mean?
Yes. Well, Armand, I was listening to what you were talking about today, and I just come out of a relationship I was in for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
And it was an amicable breakup, you know, slowly but surely the sex stopped, and we moved out, and then we stopped seeing each other, and we stopped having sex, and then we were friends, and now we're not seeing each other at all. I'm very easy to, I don't have a hard time staying with a woman and being loyal to her. It always seems that they always wind up leaving me, though, for some reason. I don't know why.
I'm hearing an echo. There it is. Okay, but you said that there's something happens each time. Yes, do you hear that echo on the air?
No.
Okay, no, I know you don't hear it. There we go. Okay. So something happens in your relationship where the person leaves you. Now, you said you stopped having sex. When you stopped having sex with the person, what happened? Why did you stop having sex with her?
Well, first we lived together for quite some time, then we moved apart. And then we continued to have sex, not living together.
Yeah, okay, so now, when you moved apart, did she initiate moving apart?
Yes, she did.
She did. Is that what always happens to you? Somebody wants to say, says to you, I need a break?
Yeah, that's exactly what she said.
Okay, now, are you somebody who is very indecisive in general? Would you say that one of your characteristics is you're a heavy thinker, and you think a lot about things, and you think so much about things that you would say, in general, you don't make your decisions too easily? Is that true?
Well, no, I think about them, and then I make decisions. I'm a pretty good decision-maker and the action-taker as well.
You're the action-taker, except when it comes in relationships, it's
the
woman who makes it. So it's not always, right?
Yeah.
It's sometimes. So do you see that when it's sometimes, if it's going wrong, it's not okay with you? You don't notice it? Or you do notice it, but you just don't take any action?
Well, I mean, you know, you like to have a couple of drinks once in a while, and they resent it. You know, they come in, and they don't like the idea. It's like, you know, they want to rule your life, you know?
Is it always over that same issue, a couple of drinks?
No, I was with a woman who was a drinker, and I wasn't drinking at the time, and got, you know, that broke up, and then I found a really good woman at church, and we were together for quite some time, the one I'm telling you about now, and she just didn't like the idea that I would drink on occasion, because...
Yeah, okay, so now look, When somebody doesn't like that you drink on occasion, she is saying more than objecting to your drinking. She's objecting to something missing in a relationship. Give you an example. If a woman gets jealous of her man, and she gets jealous when he's around other women, very often it's because somehow when he is with her, he is not making her feel like the most important woman in the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's not giving her 100%.
Right.
When a person feels that something is missing, they tend to try to find a reason that the something is missing. Now, in this case, we're talking about essence again. When the person is kind of sensing, I love you, you love me, oops, something's missing in the essence here. So I think it must be the 6-year itch. Or I think it must be that you don't smell good. Or I think it must be that you drink too much. And they pick issues. But it's kind of you grasping at straws. So she would say she's focusing on the issue with you. And what really happened was something that you two didn't notice. And what may have happened is that you did have a season of a relationship and it was time to end. It could be. And it could be just that, you know, neither one of you are recognizing it. So you just kind of hang in there for a long time. And they recognize it and leave. But I would be willing to say that there is much more to the issue than just your drinking. Because you also said something else. You said, you know, they always try to run your life. Which says to me, in some way, you have a very strong need to maintain a sense of independence.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a strong need to maintain a sense of independence, very often you keep people at a distance where they can't feel connected anymore. And they need to feel connected. Now, all you want to do is feel independent, and so you push them at a certain distance. So then they say things like, you know, I want you not to drink. I want you not to be with your friends. They don't know what to say because they just don't have the feeling. They want the feeling of being connected. So what you have to do is pay attention a little more to the process of the relationship as it happens. And while it's happening, keep in mind your need for individuation and your need for separation very often may be sending a signal to the other person that makes them feel like they're in winter, you know, and they don't know what to do.
I see. Well, thank you for that advice, Tom.
Yeah, and let me ask you one more question, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
What was the best part of being with this last person, Ben?
With my Mary, best part.
What did you get from her? What did you learn from her?
She's a teacher. She's a very smart woman. She's 8 years older than
I
am.
Yeah, but what did you get? She may be a teacher. She may be older. That's what she is.
Yeah. I got a lot of love and support from her.
A lot of support. And tell me what support you got. Support is what?
Well, you know,
support of your intelligence.
Cold. You know, she took me in. You know, we lived together. You know, we took care of each other. We, you know, we were there when she was sick, when I was sick. You know, she
cared. That was a nice thing, yeah. And you were cared for.
I was cared for, and I loved her, and, you know.
And you will always love the memory of the beauty that she gave you during that time. Just as sure, I'm sure if she's okay, she will love the memory. It doesn't mean you two should get together again.
Right.
It doesn't mean you have to be together.
Right.
But just keep in mind what you got from it.
I did get something very
rich. It was a very rich season.
Very rich.
Yeah. Thanks for calling in, Vincent.
Thank you, sir.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Who do we have next on the phone? Hi.
Hello. My current situation is of the season. I went to the Goddard Riverside Community Center last week for people with birthdays in June, and they hold parties, you know, at the end of every month. There was a guitarist singer who performed for us, and at one point he began a song by saying, "This is called Romanza. It's a traditional Spanish song." He began strumming the guitar. I recognized the music immediately as being the soundtrack of a movie called Forbidden Games. Have you ever seen that movie?
It sounds vaguely. What's your name, by the way?
George.
George. George. Oh, George, you're familiar to me. I know you. Right. Okay, George, so tell me.
Okay. The movie is very sad, and I cried during the movie when I saw it.
Sure,
and when
okay.
he played the music, I began to cry and sob exceedingly. So I walked out into the hall and sat down and was crying, and I felt the hand at one point touch my shoulder and say, "That's what music is for." A few seconds later, someone came up to me and said, "I'll get you a tissue." And she disappeared and came back and gave me the tissue and then said, "I'm the social worker here. If you would like to come to speak to me, please do. I'm on vacation next week," which meaning this week, "call me the following week," which is so seasonal and exactly what I need at this particular time, because my dog died in January of kidney failure, and it has broken me up, and so on and so on.
So, George, you really need to connect. You need to connect, and it's really beautiful that this social worker is there.
I know. I couldn't believe the way, you know, and of course, I can't wait till Monday to call her. After that, I found a book 2 days ago. I want to mention it to you just on the off chance you might know of it. It is called Listening to Patients, Relearning the Art of Healing in Psychotherapy by Richard G. Druss, Druss, M.D. Doesn't ring a bell.
No, it does. I know. I'm familiar with the book, sure.
Fantastic. So I haven't started reading it yet. Just flipping through it, though, I'm already getting to like it because I saw the name Goethe and Heine and Freud. That's a familiar name, et cetera. So I have a feeling, you know, I find this after meeting the social worker that way, you know, and it's just working hand in glove.
Great.
And that's what I wanted to describe.
George, how beautiful. I thank you so much for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Sure. George loves to be touched. Feel bad about his dog, you know. Oh, that's the thing about pets. You lose pets. You try to remember, what did this pet give me? And you try to keep them in your heart, you know. I know it's fair to call them pets. You know, they're beings. Beings, you know. Wonder if those beings are listening now. 212-209-2900. I have a couple of pets. I wonder if they tune into the Positive Mind. You know, on my Facebook, I'm going to put pictures. Somebody did a Facebook of Armand DeMille. My last name, by the way, in case you're curious, is spelled D-I, capital M-E-L-E. And if you look on Facebook, somebody just started that. There's a whole community out there. Interesting. I think we have it on our website, too. I'm going to put the pets up there. Good place for my pets. You could all meet them. I like to meet your pets, too. I'd love to get that. I'd love to get photographs of people's pets. I once did a collage, and we have it on our website, of people who are listeners of WBAI. We had 50 people sent us pictures, and we had these great photographs, and we put them all together. We did a wonderful collage. I have a painting hanging outside my office, which is a large photograph of all the pictures. And I would love to get one of your pets. How about send me a photograph of your pet? All right? In fact, send me a photograph of you with your pet, which would be even better. Because, you know, people always look like their pets in some way or other. George, how about sending me a picture of your pet? 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Paulette.
Hello, Paulette.
My husband came into my life for a season, and I was in his life for his lifetime.
Yeah, I hear. What's the biggest thing you could remember? Well, you see, now there's another thing, Paulette. Just because the person dies doesn't mean they leave your lifetime. Do you know what I mean? Some people... Are you there?
I'm here.
Some people, Paulette, are married for life. You know, I have a relationship where I believe it will never end. And even if that person goes, dies, leaves, it may be the only relationship. It may be the only one. And other people can come and visit, and they could be seasonal, but that one would still be the lifetime. Do you think that describes you?
I don't think I could have a seasonal person in my life.
Right. You don't think you could have anybody in your life right now, do you?
I have to make an effort to be with the people who want to be with me.
So the best you could get is people for a reason, right? Which is not to be so alone, not to be so isolated, not to be depressed. Is that right?
I didn't follow you entirely.
You're not motivated to get together with anybody. You're depressed. You're grieving. You lost your husband. You loved him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is that right? He's
yes,
in your heart.
Yes.
He's not going anywhere. His body may be gone, but he is totally with you every minute.
Yes.
And the reason you can't go on a date with anybody else is because it would be three people. It would be too crowded in the movie theater. You know what I mean? Because you couldn't go alone. So
yes.
I think the only thing you could do is invite him. You know, is to make sure that if you go on a date, you're going to let him know, you know, my husband's coming. You know, because he's going to be here. I told Mr. And if you can't handle menage a trois, just don't even bother with me.
That's because interesting.
Because it's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. You could be with other people, but don't expect to leave your husband behind because you're hooked. You're connected forever. You know, it's actually my sister. Her husband died.
Mm-hmm.
And after her husband died, she met another man, and she's 70. She met a man the same name as her husband. And she married him.
Mm.
And people said, well, how could you have somebody who's also called Bob? And she said, it's all right, they're both here. she keeps them both. So I think, Paulette, you know, if you're expected to just drop and forget about... What was your husband's name?
Alan.
Oh, that's a nice name. Alan, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Alan, wherever you are, you know, just remember you're still married. Paulette's waiting for you. Paulette, take him with you. Go on out there. Go find out what's happening with these other seasonal people. Take them along because Alan was a good spirit. And if you bring him with you wherever you go, whoever you're going to be with is going to benefit by it.
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye for now.
Bye.
Boy, you could hear that big sob, couldn't you? It's grand. Grand. A love sob. 212-209-2900. Let me take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Just a moment. Just a moment. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. This is Armand, right?
No, this is Armand. What's your name?
My name is Ann.
Hello, Ann.
Hi. I'm sorry. I fell down earlier, and I had trouble getting to the radio. So
it's fine. It's fine, Ann.
It's my daughter. I feel as though I'm talking to a shrink, and I'm not going to get too much sympathy because I'm a mother.
No, we have no sympathy for mothers, ever.
Yeah, I'm complaining about a daughter who's been rejecting me for so long that I just had to break off with her, and it's been 7 months now we haven't spoken. And I just figured maybe I'd wait for her to come to me.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, how old is your daughter?
49.
49. She's going through a transition. You know, she's going through a very important transition. You know, in the meantime, I could tell you something.
Well, she's been going through this for 36 years.
Yeah, no, I understand. And
okay.
In the same time, there is something, it's a good chance for you to look at your part in this, you know? So there is something about you that your daughter finds is threatening to her well-being when she's in contact with you.
No kidding. She doesn't
Wait. Let me finish, okay? So she's either delusional and completely crazy, Or there is something about you that touches a sensitivity in her that she doesn't want as touched. The only thing we can figure out, the only thing we can do at this point, Anne, if you want to change it, is I have to get you to find your spirit. Because I'm talking to Anne right now, and I could hear it, Anne, your spirit is asleep somewhere. Your spirit is lying in the bottom of a closet. Now, you could say, my spirit's in the bottom of the closet because my daughter won't talk to me. And I'll say to you, no, Anne, we got to wake up your spirit, because then your daughter will talk to you. So I think what we have to do for you is find you a way to get you out of this perpetual depression that you've got. Mm-hmm. Wake up your spirit, and then it'll be like the biggest invitation in the world. You know? And I don't mean to blame you, the parent. But no, this is the place where the parent really becomes the parent, because only you could solve the problem. Your daughter's probably a little too fragile to solve it herself. You know what I mean?
I wish I knew the secret of getting out of that closet.
Well, give me a call.
Okay.
You know?
Thank you.
Sure.
Thanks a lot.
Sure. This is Armando Miller. I have to be going. Nice to be with you today. I'll be back with you Tuesday at 1 p.m. Remember, Independence Day is really not all about just the fireworks. To me, it's about interdependence. It's about how much we are all kind of needing each other. So happy Interdependence Day, my friends. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. If you want to hear today's show or get a copy of it, go to the Positive Mind. .com. Bye-bye for now.
Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. Well, I'm so tired of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I ain't got nobody just to call my special friend. You know, the first time I traveled, snow, you know, the first time I traveled out in the rain and snow, in the rain and snow. Oh, I didn't have no payroll, not even no place to go.
Hey, listener. Did you know that when you make a pledge during our drive or make any donation before or after our